So joining me today, as Greg said, is John Griek. He's our Director of Investor Relations. And before we get going, I put up a statement that says I may be making forward-looking statements and references to non-GAAP measures this morning. You can get to the presentation slides that I'm using today, along with a great deal of other information, by visiting our IR website at allstateinvestors.com. So Allstate has been and is an attractive and unique investment opportunity. Five-year return from owning Allstate common stock is above the S&P 500 and reflects a competitively differentiated strategy. Attractive returns from providing insurance to consumers throughout the United States and Canada, and that includes our large investment portfolio. Profitable growth, proactive management of risk to maximize returns, and strong cash returns to our shareholders. Our strategy is to segment the consumer insurance market into four distinct quadrants based on their desire for advice and assistance, which is shown on the horizontal axis, and their perception of differences between insurance companies, which is shown on the vertical axis. We have unique value propositions for each segment to best meet the needs and preferences of each customer group, and we are the only company with a presence in each of these segments. Customers in the lower left-hand segment prefer to have one insurance relationship for all of their protection needs and therefore tend to bundle their insurance purchases. These customers are served by the Allstate brand value proposition. This includes a wide range of proprietary products and over 36,000 highly engaged Allstate exclusive agents, financial specialists, and licensed sales producers that are in virtually every local community in the United States. This is our largest and most profitable customer segment, and we predominantly compete with State Farm, Nationwide, and Farmers. To further strengthen our competitive position in this segment, we're changing processes, technology, products, and rewards to position Allstate agencies as trusted advisors. In the lower right-hand segment, we've invested heavily in strengthening Esurance's brand and expanding into new states and risk classes, and as a result, have doubled the size of that business since we acquired it over 4 years ago. We compete with GEICO, Progressive Direct, and USAA in this segment. Strategy for the Encompass brand in the upper left segment centers on offering broad coverage options specifically tailored to the mass affluent market, while simplifying the insurance experience by packaging products into a single annual household policy with one premium, one bill, one policy deductible, one renewal date, and one advisor, which is an independent insurance agent. These features appeal to the approximately 35 million mass affluent households in the United States. Answer Financial in the upper right is the largest online agency in the United States and serves consumers who prefer self-service and are brand neutral. Answer Financial offers comparison quotes for auto and homeowners insurance from approximately 25 insurance companies through its website and over the phone, and we do not take underwriting risk in that segment. So we leverage our pricing sophistication, analytics, claims, and technology capabilities across all our segments. Allstate's well known for auto insurance, and we'll spend some time today talking about the profitability of that business. This slide shows that there's much more to Allstate than just auto insurance. As you can see from the bottom pie charts, we benefited from having a diverse portfolio of businesses in 2015, as lower auto insurance underwriting income was partially offset by very strong performance in homeowners and contributions from Allstate Financial and our investment portfolio. What some people don't focus on in our story are the contributions to operating income from homeowners, investments, and Allstate Financial as well. As I mentioned on the previous slide, auto insurance profitability declined in 2015, resulting largely from an increase in the frequency of accidents and an increase in the average cost associated with them. As a result, we want to spend some time today on our profit improvement plan. First, as you can see in the chart on the upper left, we've consistently earned excellent returns in auto insurance for over 10 years. While current profitability is lower than we'd like, returns are still above our cost of capital. Auto accident frequency has been steadily declining for 20 of the past 25 years, due mostly to safety improvements in cars. You can see this trend in the graph on the upper right. We experienced a divergence from very favorable auto frequency results starting in the fourth quarter of 2014. That trend continued in 2015, and as you can see, it's now at the highest level since 2003. Our analysis to identify and isolate potential drivers of the adverse frequency was both broad and deep, and resulted in the conclusion that the trend was largely driven by external factors, including increased economic activity and more miles being driven by customers. As a result, we implemented a broad-based four-part auto profit improvement plan. It includes raising prices, lowering growth through tightened underwriting standards, focusing on claim process excellence, and reducing expense spending. Allstate, Esurance, and Encompass each have auto profit improvement plans that are unique to their own special situations and results. Approved auto price increases of 2015 of $1.1 billion across all three underwriting brands were the highest in over 10 years. The Allstate brand accounted for $942 million of that total. In addition to broad price increases, our market operating committees are using their local knowledge to address specific underperforming segments of business from state to state through tighter underwriting standards. Our claims organization is also responding to higher severity through continued focus on process execution and excellence. And to accelerate margin improvement, we decreased spending on advertising, professional services costs, and compensation incentives in 2015. So in summary, we've reacted quickly, broadly, and precisely to the uptick in the auto combined ratio. Our homeowners business is a competitive advantage and generates a substantial amount of operating income, as you saw in the earlier pie chart. This did not happen by accident. In 2008, we began repositioning the Allstate brand homeowners business to reflect an increase in severe weather. And over the past 7 years, we've executed a multifaceted local market approach, much like what we're doing right now with auto insurance. So we raised auto prices over 30% to ensure our rates were adequate for the environment we were operating in. We re-underwrote our existing book of business, establishing tighter new business underwriting standards, and migrating customers to higher deductible levels while reducing the number of homes insured. We also created a new homeowner product, House and Home, which gives customers a chance to choose between roof coverage levels. As you can see from the graph on the bottom of the page, the operating range of the Allstate brand homeowners combined ratio has been reduced significantly and is now a competitive advantage for us. We acquired Esurance in 2011 to enhance our value proposition for consumers in the self-service segment. This transaction furthered our strategy of utilizing different value propositions for distinct customer segments and was economically attractive because of the benefits Allstate could provide to Esurance. Since the acquisition, Esurance has grown by $763 million in net written premium and has added 705,000 policies in force. This growth has been supported by the benefits of Allstate's ownership, including an expansion into the preferred risk market, a strengthening of the Esurance brand, and geographic expansion. As you can see in the map on the bottom left, we now sell Esurance auto insurance in 98% of the U.S. market and expanded into Alberta, Canada in 2015. The chart on the bottom right illustrates the introduction of our Esurance homeowners product, geographic and product expansion in auto, homeowners, renters, and motorcycle insurance will help drive further future growth and lower our overall acquisition costs in this channel. Esurance is an economically attractive business for us, and we continue to invest in growing the brand. And while we're pleased with these results, there's still work to be done to grow the business while improving the underlying loss ratio. We're also focused on investing in long-term value creation. The Allstate agency platform is being expanded to underpenetrated geographies, which are largely in the middle of the country. We're also deploying education and support focused on relationship initiation and insurance and retirement expertise, and we're continuing efforts to enhance agency capabilities to enable them to focus more time in an advisory role. We have a successful track record in selectively pursuing adjacent acquisitions, whether that be Allstate Benefits in 1999, the Partnership Marketing Group in 2008, or Esurance in 2011. We're also expanding on what is often overlooked strong presence serving businesses through a variety of products and services. And there are also opportunities that arise from connecting with customers through telematics offerings. We have over 1 million customers currently using DriveWise and DriveSense, which are our telematics offerings for the Allstate brand and the Esurance brand, respectively. These offerings enable us to give customers a better, more accurate price and broaden the services that they receive from Allstate. We take a proactive approach to investing by balancing risk and return. As you're likely aware, we began shortening the duration of our property liability portfolio in September of 2012. And have maintained a shorter profile because the risk of staying long was not worth the return. In the Allstate Financial portfolio, we also reduced the risk of rising interest rates by selling approximately $2 billion of long-duration fixed income securities during the third quarter of 2015. Sale proceeds were invested in shorter duration fixed income and public equity securities, which will lower net investment income in the near term. But over time, we'll shift the majority of those proceeds to performance-based investments that we expect to deliver attractive long-term economic returns, although the income will be volatile from quarter to quarter. Our investment portfolio is managed on a segmented basis, which is represented on this slide. Portfolio can be split into many different ways, one of which is to look at the primary source of return and how actively the assets are traded. The vertical axis is a spectrum of what primarily drives return, the overall market or the specific asset, and the horizontal axis is a spectrum of how much trading is done on the assets. So the market-based core approach, which is in the upper left, accounts for approximately 85% of the portfolio, a stable, highly liquid, high-quality fixed income portfolio. Holdings in this portfolio are primarily comprised of public and private fixed income assets, commercial mortgages, and passively managed equities. Three other portfolios, market-based active, performance-based opportunistic, and performance-based long-term, are more idiosyncratic in terms of investing. Market-based active in the upper right is less than 10% of the portfolio, and our goal here is to outperform the market through active management by leveraging our capabilities in public markets. We'll also pursue tactical strategies that benefit from increased market volatility in this portion of the portfolio. The performance portfolios on the bottom, we focus more on total returns. These portfolios generally typically generate more short-term reported earnings volatility, which often shows up as limited partnership returns. We believe this approach to investing delivers the best risk-adjusted returns. So to summarize, Allstate represents an attractive investment opportunity for a number of reasons. Our strategy is to provide competitively unique customer value propositions to each consumer segment. We consistently produce long-term underlying returns across a broad set of businesses. Our growth is diversified across customer segments, brand, geography, and product offerings. We stay focused on our priorities, proactively address issues, and execute well by balancing risk and return across the organization. And we also have a long history of providing solid cash returns to shareholders, which can be seen by the charts on the left. So with this context, let's take some questions from Greg in the audience and hear what's on your minds. So, give me the acronym one more time. Advanced driver. So, driverless cars, telematics. I don't know that we've seen a lot of data on that right now. So, the question for the folks in the back of the room was, is there any industry data right now on the proliferation of technology in cars, whether it be assisted driver, or automatic braking, things like that? You know, the things that we do see in our results is that it's causing in newer model year cars the severity to be a little bit more expensive on physical damage claims. So if you think of a front-end collision 10 years ago, you're basically taking the old bumper off, you're putting the new bumper on, replacing headlights. Now what we see, and it's manifesting itself in our severity results, is the just more parts for the repair, right? Those parts are more expensive because they're more complex, and the labor hours that are inherent with putting that car back together are just longer than they've been. So we're seeing some of that from a severity perspective. I don't know that we're necessarily seeing any of that from a frequency perspective, right? So there's the frequency conversation that we and others in the industry are seeing right now that may be clouded by the increase in miles driven or the increase in distracted driving or things like that. That help? Okay. I think our perspective is if you look at the one slide I showed up there, frequency on a pretty southeasterly trend for 20 of the past 25 years, we would expect that the safety advances in cars will put us back on that track at some point. Absolutely. Sure. So Greg's good question. Greg's question for the folks in the back of the room is what would we expect a normal year to be if 2015 didn't happen, right? So if we were standing here a year and a half ago, what would we expect? What we had seen for the past 5 years was fairly flat frequency. So before the uptick that we and others saw starting in the fourth quarter of 2014, it was fairly benign from quarter to quarter. You know, you'd have some volatility from one quarter to the next based on weather and things like that, but it had been a fairly flat and quiet operating environment for frequency. We're not pricing to a decline. It was more of a quiet trend, if you will.
Sure.
So there are question from Greg for the folks in the back. It was just around distracted driving. I think what we see right now, whether it be us or others in the industry, is there's a lot of qualitative information out there right now, whether it be surveys that people are taking as to whether or not they're talking on their phone or texting on their phone or browsing the web. What becomes difficult from a data mining perspective is that oftentimes if you have an accident that involves a police report, you don't have people actively admitting the fact that they were doing something in the car that caused the accident. So I don't know that the distribution of our accidents or our collisions and what we're seeing is significantly different than what we had seen in the past. I think, you know, what we tell people when we're in one-on-one meetings with investors, if you're an active driver and you're looking around, it becomes fairly obvious that a lot of people are doing this activity. As you're watching from car to car, there's a lot of people on their phones these days. So I don't know, again, to the question about safety, I don't know that there's a lot of quantitative information out in the industry right now about exactly what that's worth. But we've heard, you know, we've been talking about it for a number of months now, and a number of our competitors have been in the market as well, making public statements about the assumed impact from it as well. So we have Greg's referring to our telematics product, DriveWise and DriveSense, and DriveWise is Allstate brand, DriveSense is an insurance. And what we've been doing over the past couple of years actually is moving away from the implementation of the dongle inside the car. We've had an app, a cell phone app for our telematics product out for over a year now. It's probably in about half the states that we have a telematics program in, which is in the high 40s at this point. And what we've seen from the cell phone app is we can collect just as good data on your driving behavior as we can with the application in the car. So I don't know that it's outdated. I think you know, we still see a benefit from having those states with the plug-in device under the dashboard. And, you know, it does a good job for us. We get really good results from our DriveWise program. We're able to collect a tremendous amount of data. We feel that it's from a customer value proposition perspective. You know, we're able to provide customers with almost real-time feedback on their driving behavior, give them an opportunity to dig into the discount that they're getting or the price that they're paying on their auto insurance, and really try and find out, you know, how we're grading them and if there's opportunities in their driving behavior to correct that driving behavior and become better drivers over time. So between the two, I think, you know, whether or not it converges to the cell phone or it goes directly into the car at some point in the future, we'll see. But I think we see benefit from both implementations right now. So aside from just the analytics that we're able to do with the DriveWise data that we collect from our insured base, which as I said before is about 1 million cars right now, active users, we see benefit from having that program in place. I mean, we would say that the benefit of a telematics program from us, just from a pricing perspective, is it's more powerful than other underwriting factors that we use. So if you came to me today and you were quoting yourself with Allstate and I didn't have you on telematics, I feel really strong about the pricing platform that I have right now, but it's all proxies, right? So I'm going to look at your gender, I'm going to look at your type of car you're driving. There's a tremendous amount of data that we're collecting, but once I have you on the telematics program, I know exactly how you drive, right? So to us, that's more powerful than any of those proxies. And, you know, credit is something that changed the landscape of the industry a number of years ago. We feel that telematics is more powerful than credit from a pricing perspective. Cool. Sure. Sure. So, question is, and I believe it's around our homeowners line of business, right? So, where we've diminished activity and where we've pulled back. You have to go far back in our story to get the full picture. So, if you look at early 2000s, 04 and 05. We saw a tremendous increase in named storm activity on the Atlantic coast. So you had the 2004, you had the four hurricanes hitting Florida. 2005, you had Katrina, Rita, Wilma. What that put us into was a mode of protecting ourselves and retreating off of the coast. So some of the declines that we saw from a policy perspective, 2,000 policies that we parted ways with between 2006 and 2012 was really pulling back from the coasts. Concurrently, we purchased and continue to have a very strong reinsurance program for those types of risks as well. I think what you're seeing now is we're selectively getting back into some of those markets. We don't want to be on the sand, right? But we are, through our homeowners optimization processes, we are looking for specific areas in the country where we have risk availability, and we're getting back into some of those markets, not in mass. Good question. So the question, so everybody can hear it, is, you know, our three largest competitors that we called out in the Allstate brand quadrant, mutuals who are all losing money, right? So how do you compete in a market where you have competitors that are losing money on a regular basis and maybe have a more competitive price because of that? You know, our perspective is kind of twofold. So we absolutely look at market share, which in our industry is measured by share premiums. We also look at share profits. Which is something that we're, you know, very, very clued in on as well. If you look historically, go back 10, 15 years even in the auto industry, it's really only three main competitors that are making money year in, year out in auto. That's us, that's Progressive, and that's Geico. I think our differentiation in that channel is not all about price, right? So what our agency owners go to market with is the value of having a trusted advisor in that space. The value that the brand brings and the peace of mind that you have knowing that you have Allstate insurance and that at that moment of truth when you have a claim, we'll be there for you. So, you know, I just had an opportunity to spend some time with a number of our agents in one of our operating committees last week, and they are all about selling the value of the agency. They're all about selling the value of their advice and the relationship that they bring to the transaction, and it's not as much about price. Does it make it difficult at times when you're going up against a State Farm with a client or you're going up against somebody else who has a lower price than we do? Absolutely. But that's why we feel the work that we're doing right now around relationship initiation and making sure that we have thorough conversations with people and it's not just a transaction based on price. That's what will bring us value in the future. Sure. So Greg's question just in general was a little bit of context on Allstate Financial. So if you look at Allstate Financial, there's really four parts of it from a segment reporting perspective. There's underwritten life insurance business. There's a workplace benefits business, which is small but growing with really strong returns. And then we have two closed annuity blocks that are both in runoff. The core of that business is really the underwritten life piece and the Allstate benefits business. Those two, from a segment reporting perspective, the underwritten life now reports to our protection president, Matt Winter. His charge is to bring that together in the Allstate agency force and really drive household penetration with those products. Those are the two pieces, though, that we really want to grow over time. The two deferred annuity blocks with the closed substandard annuity block, 30 to 40 year liabilities, we're investing differently against those to get the returns up. The deferred block is about $10 billion of reserves against it. That's in runoff and will be fully run off in about 9 to 10 years at this point. So the real story on AF is where we want to go. The underwritten life portion of that business we like, has good returns. We feel that from our customer base, it's an underserved product. So we're really partnering with our agents to make sure we get deeper into the household with those types of products. Oh, okay. Sure, good question. The question was just around what were the ancillary actions that we saw, or what the ancillary results that we saw from raising rates throughout 2015. We have seen an impact to retention. Allstate brand auto was down just short, I think, of a half a point. It was either 4/10 or 5/10 of a point over prior year in the fourth quarter. We are taking some significant rates in a number of states, and we are driving shopping activity. One of the things that we also see is that a number of our competitors are as well. So we think that, you know, particular to us versus a direct competitor, which may not have the relationship, our agencies do premium change reviews. They will proactively reach out to customers. There's a relationship there that they can help the customer find the right level of coverage and hopefully talk them through the reasons for why we're taking rates up and help them, you know, maybe have more of a balanced conversation when instead of the customer just getting the bill and seeing the number, we try and be very proactive in those conversations and manage those relationships. So I think what we're seeing generally is absolutely, you know, we said on our fourth quarter call, we expect to grow auto this year, but it's going to be a lot harder than it was in 2015 just because of all the profit actions that we're putting into play. Do we get some cover if, you know, if our other competitors are acting as aggressively as we are? We probably are. You know, one of the things we also have in place is we have very tight underwriting standards on new business right now, so we're not as open for business as maybe we were as 18 months ago, so that's going to work to slow growth as well. Sure. So the question was around share repurchase and just, I would say, overall capital management philosophy. You know, over the past few years, we've benefited from having strong results. So we've generated very strong net operating income the past few years. We also benefited from upstreaming $1.2 billion of freed up capital post the disposition of our Lincoln Benefit Life operation. So if you look at, you know, as we put on there on purpose, right, you can see that we've had really strong cash returns over the past couple of years. We still feel, management team still feels that the stock is attractive for us and provides a good way to deploy capital back to our shareholders. You know, we just a couple of weeks ago came out with an announcement that we're increasing our common share dividend by about 10%. As of last year, we still had $500 million and change left on our $3 billion authorization. So you should expect at some point in this year, the board will make a consideration for a potential re-up of the authorization at some time. What that number lands at, when that's going to be announced, is going to be up to Steve, Tom, and our board.
Okay, we'll move down to the breakout now. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.